In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Jesus looked up at his disciples and said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God." He's talking about followers of his who are materially, financially poor. And they have nothing less than eternal citizenship in God's reign. "Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you will be filled." Folks facing food insufficiency, who know what it is to be hungry, who are choosing medicine or rent over buying food, who know true hunger or malnutrition, anyone living with any of these conditions will have their stomach filled and will feel satisfied. "Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh." Mourning, melancholy, loss or grief, depression, fright, disconnected life, you will all know joy. "Blessed are you when people hate you and when they exclude you, revile you, and defame you on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for surely your reward is great in heaven. For that is what their ancestors did to the prophets. The oppressed, marginalized, the stranger, the abused, the quiet righteous. The prophets of God experienced these torments. So also have many historically and even now our sisters and brothers, women, blacks, Latinos, the indigenous, LGBTQ+, Muslims, Jews, union members, convicts, and on and on. And it's terrible when this just happens as part of human sin, but it's inexcusable when it's done in the name of Christ. Just inexcusable. God will spiritually and emotionally compensate these people fully within God's reign. And then Luke goes on to record the woes, the cautions that Jesus put out there. "Woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation." That's pretty self-explanatory. If you're in a situation where it feels it can't get any better, that's not a good situation to be in. "Woe to you who are full now, for you will be hungry." No, be thankful. Not self-satisfied or self-righteous. It may well change, or at least it won't fill you the way you really need to be filled. "Woe to you who are laughing now, for you will mourn and weep." But we all know that before God completes salvation, life inevitably has twists and turns, ups and downs. The sun will give way to clouds, give way to night. So be neither so shallow as to diminish troubles, nor so naive as to think you are immune. "Woe to you when all speak well of you, for that is what their ancestors did to the prophets." This is not about people getting compliments. This is being spoken well of because all you do is tell people what they want to hear, with being divorced from any truth to it. Very often the important things to say are not going to have people speaking well of you. Now, as I put this all together, it occurs to me that I'm doing what we call, out of the epistles, equipping the saints. Equipping you with a picture of the gospel the good news as it is reflected in these Beatitudes. The Beatitudes, they reflect God's way now and eternally. It is not the way of the world, and they are not rules or commandments. They don't say go around weeping, nor they say to adopt such a sour personality as to cause people to hate you. They describe a world in which God pays attention to everyone. A world in which gracious, generous love, mercy, and justice hold sway everywhere and always. They are not commandments or laws. They are descriptions, vignettes of God's way and intention. And we faithful people recognize this in our hearts. We respond. We're attracted to this rain. Here's a few analogies. Take magnetism. We cannot see anything pushing or pulling the needle, but a compass points north. Magnets stick to many metals. Magnets attract or repel each other by forces beyond our perception. But it happens. Or another, plants grow towards light. They will even bend their stalks to face the sun. Or more to the point, babies and children do not need to be told to stay around their mothers and fathers. And likewise, a mother does not need to be instructed to love her infant. Now, let me be clear. I pray for the healing for women who do struggle with this under the sway of, say, postpartum depression or substance use disorders or other psychological demons. Now, the people of faith and righteousness are inherently drawn towards God's grace. And we recognize that whether it showers us or a friend, a neighbor, or a stranger, there is no one who deserves God's grace. It is freely and extravagantly given by God. And the church celebrates it in all its forms and appearances. And remember, in the Lord's Prayer, we plead to live in such a world. We ask, your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. These Beatitudes describe a piece of what it is like in God's reign. The Beatitudes reflect a strong theme found throughout the Bible. The ways of this world pale in comparison to God's ways and often conflict. The ways of this world can readily deceive and engulf a person's sensibilities, eclipsing the greater light of the sun. And so again, let me walk through some scripture from way at the beginning of it to way at the end of it, by way of equipping you so that you know what it is your heart is being drawn to, the grace and mercy and righteousness and justice that God wants for this world, that God wants, say, in society. We hear in Deuteronomy, for the Lord your God is God of gods and Lord of lords, the great God, mighty and awesome, who is not partial and takes no bribe, who executes justice for the orphan and the widow, and who loves the strangers, providing them with food and clothing. You shall also love the stranger, for you were strangers in the land of Egypt. And in Psalms, we hear this theme. Father of orphans and protector of widows is God in his holy habitation. Or Isaiah, Ah, you who make iniquitous decrees, who write oppressive statutes, to turn aside the needy from justice, to rob the poor of my people of their right, that widows may be your spoil, and that you may make orphans your prey. All of the Old Testament was written in an agrarian society. And here in Rockford, you don't have to drive far to see the fields. So we hear about life in the fields, as it were, in Deuteronomy. When you reap your harvest in your field and forget a sheaf in the field, you shall not go back to get it. It shall be left for the alien, the orphan, the widow, so that the Lord your God may bless you in all your undertakings. Or likewise in Leviticus, when you reap the harvest of your land, you shall not reap to the very edges of your field or gather the gleanings of your harvest. You shall not strip your vineyard bare or gather the fallen grapes of your vineyard. You shall leave them for the poor and the alien. I am the Lord your God. And in a world that may be more familiar to most of us here, in the market, Proverbs, differing weights are an abomination to the Lord, and false scales are not good. Leviticus, you shall not cheat in measuring length, weight, or quantity. When you make a sale to your neighbor or buy from your neighbor, you shall not cheat one another. And again, Proverbs, honest balances and scales are the Lord's. All the weights in the bag are his work. And way at the other end of the Bible, Revelation, fallen is Babylon, the great city, and the merchants of the earth have grown rich from the power of her luxury. The kings of the earth who lived in luxury with her will weep and wail over her when they see the smoke of her. The merchants of the earth weep and mourn for her, since no one buys their cargo anymore. Cargo of gold, silver, jewels and pearls, fine linen, purple, silk, and scarlet, all kinds of scented wood, all articles of ivory, all articles of costly wood, bronze, iron, and marble, cinnamon, spice, incense, myrrh, frankincense, wine, olive oil, choice flour and wheat, cattle and sheep, horses and chariots, slaves and human lives. Alas, the great city where all who had ships at sea grew rich by her wealth. No, God wants us to live in ways that match with the way it is in God's realm. Again in Deuteronomy, do not say to yourself, my power and the might of my own hand have gained me this wealth. But remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth. And in the prophet Micah, he has told you, O mortal, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God? In days to come, the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established as the highest of the mountains and shall be raised up above the hills. People shall stream to it. For out of Zion shall go forth instruction and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between peoples, many peoples, and shall arbitrate between strong nations far away. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. But they shall all sit under their own vine trees and under their own fig trees, and no one shall make them afraid. For the mouth of the Lord of hosts has spoken. And in time then comes the Christ. And Jesus went on through cities and villages, proclaiming and bringing the good news of the kingdom of God. And he sent the disciples out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal, instructing them, cure the sick who are there and say to them, the kingdom of God has come near to you. In Matthew, we hear where a lawyer asked Jesus, teacher, which commandment in the law is the greatest? And Jesus said to the lawyer, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the greatest and first commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. And Luke reports a conversation where someone wanting to justify himself asked Jesus, who is my neighbor? And as an answer, Jesus recounts the story of the Good Samaritan. Elsewhere, Jesus teaches us, why do you see the speck in your neighbor's eye, but do not notice the log in your own eye? So we can hear the nature of God's reign throughout Scripture. But we don't have to turn to just Scripture. We can find it in some of the best literature in the secular world. The Merchant of Venice by Shakespeare. The quality of mercy is not strained. It droppeth as the gentle rain from heaven upon the place beneath. It is twice blessed. It blesses him that gives and him that takes. 'Tis mightiest in the mightiest. It becomes the throned monarch better than his crown. His scepter shows the force of temporal power, the attribute to awe and majesty wherein doth sit the dread and fear of kings. But mercy is above this sceptered sway. It is enthroned in the hearts of kings. It is an attribute to God himself. And earthly power doth then show likest gods when mercy seasons justice. God's reign, our hearts know it, in heaven always and then on earth. Paul has some glorious descriptions. The Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we ought, but that very Spirit intercedes with sighs too deep for words, and God, who searches the heart, knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. There is no longer Jew or Greek. There is no longer slave or free. There is no longer male and female. For all of you are one in Christ Jesus. I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. And again, turning to the end of the Bible, to Revelation, as Christ is sending messages at the beginning of that book to the seven churches, to the angel of the church in Thyatira write, these are the words of the Son of God, who has eyes like a flame of fire and whose feet are like burnished bronze. I know your works, your love, faith, service, and patient endurance. I know that your last works are greater than the first. And the angel to the church in Laodicea writes, the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the origins of God's creation. Let anyone who has an ear listen to what the Spirit is saying to the churches. To everyone who conquers, I will give permission to eat from the tree of life that is in the paradise of God. All this scripture and a brief route out from scripture is about the good news, the ways of God's reign in heaven and in God's time on earth. And you're invited to read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest these words, these vignettes, to ponder them in the imagination of your heart, to be able to see that they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore, but they shall all sit under their own vines and under their own fig trees, and no one shall make them afraid. For the mouth of the Lord of hosts has spoken. Yours is the kingdom of God. You will be filled. You will laugh. Surely your reward is great in heaven. Which is why Jesus went on through cities and villages, proclaiming and bringing the good news of the kingdom of God. And he sends us out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal, to cure the sick who are there, and to say to them, the kingdom of God has come near to you. Amen.